Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the First Time Home Buyer Workshop podcast with Julie Marion, episode number one. Yes, it's April 1st, 2024, and yes, it's our first podcast today. It is a special day for me professionally, and I'll share that with you in a minute, but first, I want you to know what you will get out of this podcast. We are going to be giving you nuggets and nuggets of information to empower you, first-time home buyer, because there is no way that you, when you're buying your first house, that you could possibly know every little detail about the five professions that are involved in your home buying journey. Yes, there are five professions involved with a whole set of industry standards, exams, certifications, licenses, state and sometimes federal regulations, experience levels, knowledge of different products each company offers, all of which you are supposed to absorb, understand, ask intelligent questions as it applies to your situation, what the options are, and what fits best for you in your life in a very short time frame, to the point where I call it being overwhelmed. Here, we drop 15-minute podcasts every Friday and Monday. Why? Because you, as a first-time home buyer, are probably going to be shopping for a house on the weekends. So I want you to be able to listen to this podcast, learn one little nugget of information before you go out and look at a house. And on the backside on Monday, I want you to learn another nugget of information. Now, it would be better to start this process 6 months before you say the words, "I'm going to buy a house," while buying a house is still a dream. But hands down, everyone's journey is different, and we have got to blow out, disassemble, get rid of, completely destroy, annihilate first-time home buyer's remorse, which is well over 50% annually. It's atrocious. And the reasons why are all over the place. It depends on you and what you're not happy with. As recently as November 2023, home buyer remorse, emphasis on home buyer, which could be a first time buyer, second time, investor, vacation house buyer, any type of home buyer, was 92% remorse. In my mind, something is wrong with the system that is set up in this country, but it is too big and too complex to rearrange. So the easiest thing is for you to become empowered and savvy. I am on a mission to get rid of this problem. I tell you, the old saying, "If I knew then what I know now, things would be different." I was sort of peripherally involved in the real estate field, and I thought I knew a lot. And I was surrounded by a lot of really smart people, two PhDers, in fact. And let me tell you, I made more than one mistake. I am here to help you along the way so what happened to me doesn't happen to you. And honestly, I had it pretty good. I can only imagine how bad it is for people that do not have a banker, appraiser, home inspector, attorney, real estate broker, and family members that really do know what they are talking about, not your Aunt Sally, who does real estate part-time. That is why I'm doing this. I care about you, first-time home buyer. So let's get to it today. A note of caution here. There are other podcasts about home buying. Some are good, and some may have other ulterior motives. Beware, when you listen and watch YouTube videos that are prepared by mortgage agents and real estate agents, they are looking for a lead to get business. Now, I'm starting with the financial section of this podcast, not because it's the first step. I really think it is the home sanctuary formula, but I'm doing the financial because when you Google what to do first, it usually spits out get pre-approved. So this is a good place to start. Then after the five definitions over the next five podcasts, we will move on to another topic like appraising or the home buying process. And I'll intertwine all of those definitions into how it's affecting you during the home buying process. Today, we're defining what a pre-approval letter is and is not, and we will be answering why pre-approval letters are different between each bank in terms of what it means. Comparing a pre-approval letter versus a pre-qualification letter and a fully underwritten pre-approval letter is then there is the gray area I want to share. Once we get through these definitions, so stay till the end. A pre-approval letter is a document issued by a lender, typically by a bank or a mortgage company, indicating they have reviewed your financial situation and are willing to lend you a certain amount of money for a mortgage. It's based on a preliminary evaluation of your creditworthiness, income, assets, and other financial information. Getting pre-approved for a mortgage is an important step in the home buying process as it gives you a clear idea of how much you can afford to borrow. Caveat here, the word borrow, I will address that a little later. Then the letter is submitted with your offer to purchase. Most of the time, sellers will not accept an offer unless the pre-approval accompanies the offer. A pre-approval is not a guarantee of a loan. It's conditional upon the information being correct that you provided on the loan application. The credit check is accurate. The borrower meets the lender's underwriting requirements. Pre-approval letters can vary between different banks or lenders because each institution has its own specific criteria and their own process for evaluating borrowers. Here are a few reasons why pre-approval letters might differ between bankers. Number one, criteria for evaluation. Each bank will have slightly different criteria for assessing a borrower's financial situation. While one bank may place more emphasis on a credit score, another may prioritize income stability or debt-to-income ratio. This criteria is determined by the bank's board. Number two, internal policies. Banks have their own internal policies and risk assessment frameworks. These policies may dictate the maximum loan amount they are willing to pre-approve for a borrower, as well as any specific conditions or requirements. These internal policies are also determined by the bank's board. Number three, underwriting standards. The underwriting standards or the guidelines used to assess a borrower's creditworthiness varies between lenders. Some lenders may have more stringent underwriting standards than others, lending to differences in the pre-approval process. These underwriting standards are determined by the bank board. Number four, market conditions. Lenders may adjust their pre-approval criteria based on prevailing market conditions, such as changes in interest rates, housing market trends, or economic factors. This can influence the level of risk they are willing to take on. Number five, technology and tools. Different banks use different technologies and tools to streamline their pre-approval process. Some banks may have more advanced algorithms or automated underwriting systems, which could affect the speed and accuracy of their pre-approval decisions. So their overhead costs are different at each bank. Now you have just heard the five areas that differ between each bank. However, overall, the basic concept of issuing a pre-approval letter prior to a formal loan application on a specific property remains a consistent benchmark in the lending industry. The specific terms and conditions outlined in pre-approval letters can vary for each institution. Sometimes, big international banks, think of one in your mind, only issue pre-qualification letters. And showing the seller your creditworthiness with this type of review oftentimes is difficult to get your offer accepted. And that is because a pre-qualification letter is not a formal review. You can pre-qualify yourself in your own home. A pre-qualification letter does not verify or validate any of the information provided by the borrower. This is really, really huge. It's just a cursory assessment based on self-reported data. It provides a general idea of your purchasing power, but it just doesn't guarantee a loan. And it does not signify a lender's commitment. As students in the first-time homebuyer workshop, as a side note, we go through this process in week one so you have an idea of your general buying power. Let's talk about the pre-approval letter. The pre-approval letter focuses on your financial profile as it relates to mortgage eligibility. There are seven areas of review: income verification, DTI, or something called debt-to-income ratio, asset verification, location, credit history, residual income, loan-to-value ratio, and employment stability. So let's break down each one. Income verification. Lenders will assess your income to determine your ability to repay the loan. They will ask for pay stubs, W-2 forms, tax returns, and other documents to verify your income. Number two is DTI, or debt-to-income ratio. Lenders calculate your debt-to-income ratio, which compares your monthly debts to your gross monthly income. A lower DTI ratio is generally favorable for a mortgage approval. Number three is asset verification. Lenders may also look at your assets, such as savings, investments, retirement accounts, to ensure that you have enough funds for a down payment and for closing costs. Number four is your credit history. Your credit history and your credit score are significant factors in the pre-approval process. Lenders will pull your credit report to evaluate your payment history, outstanding debts, and credit utilization. Your credit history provides insight into your past financial behavior and your ability to manage debt responsibly. Lenders use your credit score and your credit report to assess your risk level and determine your eligibility for a mortgage. Number five is residual income. Some lenders also consider your residual income, meaning that you live below your means, the money you have left over after paying all of your monthly debts and expenses. This helps ensure that you have sufficient funds to cover unexpected expenses and emergencies. This is really big. The federal standards are typically 30% of your gross income because you get a deduction for your mortgage interest and your property taxes on your tax return. But I really don't like that number without considering home maintenance and increases in annual expenses such as insurance, taxes, and maintenance. Number six is your loan-to-value ratio. Lenders also consider this LTV, which compares the amount of the loan to the value of the property. Lower LTV ratio may result in a more favorable loan term, as it indicates less risk for the lender. So if you put down 50% down payment, the risk to the lender in the case of a foreclosure is relatively low because you have a lot invested in the property. You're not going to just willingly give up that 50% of equity. But it also is that the lender will most likely be able to sell the property even if the market tanked and you were foreclosed upon. Number seven is employment stability. Your employment history and stability are important factors in the pre-approval process. Lenders prefer borrowers with steady income and employment as it reduces the risk in their mind for a default on the mortgage. A pre-approval letter doesn't typically involve a detailed examination of your day-to-day spending habits or a budget. Lenders do consider your overall financial health and ability to manage debt responsibly. It is essential to be prepared to provide accurate information and demonstrate your ability to afford the mortgage payments based on your income, debts, and assets. Additionally, it is wise to have a solid understanding of your own personal budget and how a mortgage payment would fit into your overall financial picture. You also need to consider future plans. We're going to get into this at the very end of this podcast, so stay tuned. Let's just do a little comparison here, though, between a pre-approval letter and a pre-qualification letter. There's only four areas. So we're really talking about the depth of evaluation by the underwriter or the banker. We touched a little on this already, right? The pre-qualification, this process involves a basic evaluation of your financial information that's provided by you as your income and assets and debts, and the lender uses this information to estimate the mortgage amount you might qualify for without verifying the accuracy or the details provided. A pre-approval, in contrast, obtaining that letter requires that you submit a comprehensive documentation packet, including your pay stubs, W-2 forms, and bank statements, tax returns, and authorization for a credit check. The lender meticulously reviews this information to verify your financial status and assess your credit worthiness. The second difference between the two would be the area in the level of confidence. A pre-qualification letter is just a rough estimate. A pre-approval, on the other hand, is a significantly higher level of confidence from the lender, and the lender is more assured of your eligibility for a loan within a specific range of amounts. They know your credit score, your income, and your debt-to-income ratio. Then we need to evaluate, quote-unquote, the seller perception. A pre-qualification in the seller's mind and the real estate agent's, they may view this letter as less reliable compared to a pre-approval letter. So if there are other offers with yours, yours goes to the bottom of the pile. A pre-approval carries more weight. Number four is time frame. So a pre-qualification letter, since it relies on self-reported information and doesn't involve any verification steps, it can be obtained relatively quickly, sometimes even during a brief phone call with a lender. A pre-approval, obtaining that letter usually takes longer. I say maybe a few days because it's comprehensive and verified. The extra time is often worthwhile, though, because it provides a more accurate assessment of your financial readiness and strengthens your position as a serious buyer. All this seems pretty straightforward, right? But here's the gray area and where it can get a little dicey for you as the buyer. For example, a pre-approval does not look at your budget. So let's say you have an expense that is not reflected in your debt. Maybe you help your parents each month, and that is a non-negotiable expense. Yet it doesn't show up on a loan or a credit card. Or say you have a family house where you're participating in the maintenance expenses and you are personally obligated. Again, it's not reflected in any debt. Or say you drive an old car that's starting to break down, or you need to start medication that is not covered by insurance, or you have a four-legged pet that requires daycare, boarding, or children expenses. So a pre-approval letter just doesn't typically dive into your personal budget in the same way that you might when you're managing your finances. You might be asking, so how does the bank know if I have budgeted correctly for the length of the mortgage? The short answer is, they don't know. They only look at you and your finances based on their business model. The rest, the personal expenses, your life expenses, emergencies, well, that's up to you. They are also not looking at inflation. They don't look at property tax increases, home maintenance expenses, or anything in the future. Everything up to the closing, they, the bank, are basing as a snapshot. And once the bank closes on the loan, your whole financial picture can change. As you make your payments and pay your taxes, the bank will be satisfied. Now, one other tidbit here is there is a pre-approval letter that can be fully underwritten. And that means the lender goes through the entire underwriting process and all that needs to be done is the property appraisal and the title work. It is a very, very strong letter. Now, not every bank issues it, but wow, it can be a game changer. So consider that when looking to hire a banker. I will say though, your down payment, credit history is also very important. So there you have it. That is this 15 minutes of the home buying knowledge, your first acorn to put in your home buyer jar. In the next podcast, we are going to talk about the Federal Reserve and how they influence your interest rate. Homework. Yes, yes, you have homework. I want you to start noticing what the Federal Reserve is talking about and what reports are being released on the economy and that dreaded word, inflation. This will be impacting you on your immediate needs of obtaining a mortgage, and it's all around. You just may be so busy that you haven't noticed. As you may have checked us out, you can go to our website, thefirsttimehomebuyerworkshop.com, and sign up for our weekly email, where we will email you with a link to this podcast right here in your email in-basket, so you don't have to forget or hunt around for the right episode. Also on the website, you will see our free class entitled Home Buying Chaos Unwrapped for those of you that are close to starting your home buying journey and want to kickstart the process. This class explains who does what and why, so that as soon as you walk into an open house, fill out a form, or call a banker, you are in control. We have a paid class as well, but first, honestly, I want you to get to know me and see if what I'm talking about is really helping you. There are so many gray areas in real estate, and I believe this is where home buyer's remorse can start. I mentioned today, April 1st is significant to me because when I quote unquote retired as a planning director, I left my chosen industry on April 1st. And then when I decided to start my own real estate brokerage company, I also did it on April 1st. So it seemed fitting to start this podcast on April 1st. You, my friend, have been promoted to CEO of your home buying journey, even if you didn't know it. It's pretty scary if you don't know exactly what you're doing. Stick around here and you will be knowledgeable and super informed. Until next time, from the team at the First Time Home Buyer Workshop with Julie Marion, bye for now.